It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is Pastor Kevin Akins.
Good morning,
How
everyone.
How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. Doing super.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower@cableone.net, or you can post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for Facebook today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located here in Elk City. I think I covered it all.
You were so good.
I think I did.
Every time I come in here, I go, how does she remember all of that?
God is faithful.
God is faithful? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, let's give God credit.
He's good and faithful all the time.
And he has done wonders with you.
Yes, he has.
Amen.
Yes, he has. She's grabbing her mic.
Let me add an amen to that.
Amen, amen.
Would you pray to start us
out, sir? Let's do. Let's just pray. Father God, I just come before you today, Lord, as we just gather in this room today to share your word and to share your blessings, Lord. I just pray right now that you will open up our hearts and our minds, God. I pray that you will open up our spirit, that we can hear what the Spirit has to say to us, and open our minds so that we can comprehend the complexity of your word. Lord, let us learn something today, something that changes us and moves us from where we are to where you want us to be. We will give you glory and praise through all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
So your title for today is A Revealing Party.
Yeah. I just had this little idea about that. I just, you know, there's, with all the babies being born today, it's kind of neat how they do all the different reveal parties. You know, they've had everything from an airplane flyover and drop blue paint or pink paint or blue dye or whatever, fog, whatever. You know, there's all different ones to do it. Guys have shot shotguns and blew this thing up and it came up blue smoke, pink smoke, that kind of thing. Just, you know, a reveal party. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So everybody's got those. Everybody does those. But what is so necessary today in our world is that we need a revelation of Jesus Christ once again. We need to know and understand what Jesus Christ really is doing for us, to us, in us, and about us. Where's he at? Where is this Jesus at again? Well, he's here for us. He's never left us. And I just think today is a day to reveal how important Jesus is. Now, I'm going to begin this morning by just kind of, I don't know what they call it, but just adding right here that I have really struggled deciding the message for today. Generally, I don't have this kind of dilemma coming into Hour of Power. I mean, there's even been mornings when I've been called at the last spur moment saying, do you remember you're supposed to be here? And I'm 5 minutes late, and then I come, and the Lord just gives me a message, and I go with it. So I'm not afraid, or I'm never that cautioned that I don't want to share God's word. But there's something in my heart, something in my spirit today that's just wanting to arrest people. Now, that sounds funny, but that's really what I mean. We need Jesus Christ to come on the scene and sort of say, hey, wake up. We need that arrest, you know. There's a revealing party that's taking place. Jesus is not dead. He's still on the throne. He has not forsaken us. He's not forgotten us. He's still just as real as he's ever been. Jesus still heals. He saves. He delivers. He's all powerful. He's all present. He's all knowing. What are the things that we're forgetting about this Jesus? It goes back to that scenario, that old story that we've heard so many times, the little boy that cries wolf. He cries wolf, cries wolf. Y'all know the story, right? Until finally they go, nope, it's just that boy out there crying wolf, and it ain't really happening. Well, this is liable to make somebody mad, but this is how I feel about it. It seems like we have cried Jesus so much that we're creating this atmosphere to where people are going, Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Where is he? What is it? What is it about? It's time to start teaching the real meat. We've had milk and lighthearted studies of the Bible so long that we talk about Jesus, but where is his miracles? Where is his power? Where is his touch? Where is the changing of the lives and the hearts of people? But if we sit there and focus just on that negative input, we're going to be in trouble. And the reason why is because that's not true. That's the deception that the enemy wants us to believe. The devil wants us to believe that Jesus isn't working, that his power's not there, we're not seeing the miracles, and it's not happening, and salvation's not occurring. That's not true. The truth is Jesus still saves. Jesus still heals. Jesus still moves. We're not crying wolf. We're pointing to a revelation. Let me reveal something to you. You may just know the name Jesus, but I know the Savior Jesus. You may just know the name Jesus, but I know the healer Jesus. You may just know the name Jesus, but I know the sovereign Son of God, Jesus. Jesus needs to reveal to you who he is. Let me give you an example out of the Bible. You knew I'd be coming to that pretty soon anyway. So here we are. We're going to go to the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to go to chapter 24. And let me get mine opened up to this. And this is about the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus. I love this story of the road to Emmaus. It's just one of my favorite ones. And I think I say this every time I pull up the Gospels. I am a New Testament full gospel preacher. I love the Gospels. Anytime that I get called on to do a devotion or anything, man, I love to go to the Gospels. I'm going to talk about Jesus. And this is one of those times. Jesus has risen from the dead. There is a great stir going on all over everywhere in Jerusalem. The Jews are beside themselves. They don't know what to believe. They don't think it's true. They don't want to believe it's true, but yet they can't deny that it's true. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, this touch that the Messiah has come, and it's just really bugging them. And so in that process of all the Jewish rulers and everything being so frustrated about it, the disciples scatter. They just scatter out. They don't know what to do either. They know that Jesus said, I'm going to raise from the dead in 3 days. They said, all right, we got that. But really, what are we supposed to do after that? They didn't know what to do. They're still nervous. And then some of them are still inside in their hearts going, is it real? Is it not real? How many people today that you know, how many people that you know are saying or asking the question, is this Jesus really real? Mm-hmm. Is this Christianity really what it's cut out to be? Are you just somebody that's just crying wolf, so to speak, air quotes, you know what I mean? Are you just saying it over and over again? Or is it real to you? How does somebody testify about the glory of Jesus Christ that has never experienced the glory of Jesus Christ? How does somebody really get that message into their heart? Well, listen, let's look at this a little bit today. If it's okay with you, I know that you can read, but some of you aren't able to pick your Bible up and read it with us right now. I'm going to read a little bit this morning. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to read several verses of Scripture, okay? So I'm going to take off in Gospel of Luke chapter 24. We're going to begin at verse 13, and I'm going to read about 15, maybe 20 verses of Scripture. You ready? Here we go. Listen to this story. Listen to the depths of it. Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. How many people's eyes are restrained today so they don't know him? Read, Kevin. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and he said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, now look at the description, the things concerning... This is the description of Jesus, and how many of us are on this target right here? We get this. The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. I'm going to keep on reading, but I want you to highlight that verse right there, verse 19. What are these things that are going on? What is really happening? What's going on? So they said to them, it's all the things concerning this one Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Verse 20, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes. And certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, this is Jesus' words, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Man, that is a much deeper statement than what any of us give it credit to be. We don't think about this. We love to tell this story about the road to Emmaus. We even love telling the story about what they think Jesus is. But Jesus looks at them and look at the danger of where they are. Number one, they know Jesus. They know the prophets. They know what is supposed to happen. They know the condemnation. They know the suffering. They knew all of these rules, and Jesus still calls them foolish and slow of heart to believe. Wow. Come on, church. We better get on board. I got to keep going or I'm going to get sidetracked. Verse 27. Look at this. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. He would have walked on by. He would have kept on going. He would have said, I've given y'all everything that you need. I've given you the word. I've given you the scripture. I've given you the text. I've given you the everything that you needed. I'm going on. But look, what'd they do? Verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to stay with them. This is just an indication of a time frame of the night that is going place. But yet Jesus, he wasn't restrained by any of those time limits. He had somewhere he wanted to go. He had somewhere he wanted to be. But how did it occur to them to say, Jesus, stay with me a little longer. Don't leave me a little longer. What a difference it would make in your life if you would learn when you feel that presence of Jesus with you that you would say, stay a little longer. Stay a little longer, Jesus. Let's go on. Look at this. Verse 32. And they said to one another, wait a minute, I missed it. Verse 30. Now it came to pass, he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. What? Oh, man, I'll come back to that. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while we talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 of those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Excuse me. So I read all of the scripture to you today, and I'm just going to tell you again, I've got to either go back to my notes or I'm going to get sidetracked and forget what I'm talking about. Today I want to focus on a revealing party. We need a revelation of Jesus, just like these two men did on the road to Emmaus. They knew him, they knew of him, they knew about him, they knew details about him, but they didn't really know him. There's an old saying that's out, and I'm sure that y'all have heard it. It's a tragedy how many people are going to miss heaven by 11 inches. You know what that is, 11 inches? That's the difference between the brain and the heart. There's a lot of people have Jesus in the brain, but they never get him in the heart. And those 11 inches make the difference. If we don't have Jesus in the heart, then where are we? And what is really going on? A revelation of someone, a revealing of something is experiencing the unknown. It is identifying the unknown. It's sharing the unknown. A revelation is the revealing or the disclosure of some form of truth or knowledge through communication with a deity or other supernatural entity. When you have to focus on the word revelation, it makes a difference. If we're just having a revealing party, then we're telling everybody we have a little boy or a little girl coming into our family. Or we have a revealing party saying, look, I actually got the doctorate degree and not just the MDiv degree. You know, it's those kind of revealing parties that take place. But revelation is the revealing or the disclosing of some form of truth or knowledge through communication with a deity or other supernatural entity. We need a revelation from Jesus. That revelation cannot come from another individual saying, saying to you, this is Jesus. This sounds, when I go to put this into words, this is the difficult part of this message that I told you that I've been struggling with today. We need a revelation of Jesus. The revelation of Jesus doesn't come from somebody else introducing us to Jesus. I think that everybody should be saying, let me tell you who Jesus is. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Let me tell you the story. We got to be sharing that testimony. We overcome the darkness of this world with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we ought to be sharing that testimony continually. But the true revelation comes when you accept that testimony and then you believe in your heart that this Jesus is real and he can and will and desires to do the same thing for you. And you receive that, then there's a revelation of who Jesus is. And when that miracle happens in your life, that's when things begin to change. There is a method of Jesus's revelation that takes place in this story. And I want to look at it closely. And let's go back, if we can, to verse number 26. And I'll get right to it in just a minute, because one of the first things that Jesus does is he expounds the scriptures to them. There are so many people today trying to prove, I'm sorry, but I am choking up over here. There's so many people today trying to prove, thank you so much, Neva. You're so good, thank you. Trying to prove that the Bible is not real. It's amazing. They're trying to prove the Bible is not real. Our ministerial alliance, started our annual Four Sunday series that we do every year in the month of January. It's our January annual four-part series that we do. All of the churches in ministerial alliance are sharing on the very same topic every Sunday. This past Sunday was the question. Our series is entitled, You Asked for It. And we did a survey throughout all the churches. The churches were able to send us questions. The number one asked question is the Bible reliable? That's people local right here within our churches. Those are the ones that we ask the question to. These are church people saying, is the Bible reliable? The enemy's coming out today trying everything he can to defeat Christians and to put us down. There's an onslaught against Christianity. His attack is in every different area, every different level. One of his main attacks is against the scripture. It's against the holy word of God. And so without getting sidetracked into the message of, is the Bible reliable? I want you to understand Jesus right here in the process of revealing himself, the first thing he did was expounded on the scriptures. If you want to know who Jesus is, you have to read your Bible. You must. Excuse me again. It's a priority. You have to do it. There's no way you're going to get to know Jesus simply by listening to Christian music, simply listening to your pastor, simply going to a Sunday school class, simply listening to your wife hound at you about the Bible, or listen to your husband just drive it into you. That's not how you learn about Jesus. You'll learn about the Bible, You'll learn insight about the Bible. You'll learn details about the Bible. All that is good. But this is the part that people hate it when I say this, but it's so true. Even the devil knows the Word of God, and the devil knows the Word of God better than most Christians do. He's not afraid of it when you pick your Bible up just to read your Bible to get through your daily reading program so that you can declare that you read the Bible through in a year. What makes the devil nervous is when you start rightly dividing the Word of God, learning the truth and applying that truth to your heart. And when you apply that truth to your heart, watching the miracle of Jesus take place so that there's a revelation of who Jesus is and it changes you. That's what makes the difference. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 12, this is what Paul told the Galatian church. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can we say that today? Can we look back at the thing and people say, man, how do you know that God's going to do this? Well, listen, I didn't get taught this by man. This didn't come through my Bible study class. This came straight through a revelation of Jesus Christ. It came through that revelation. Today, I want to sound a warning. And I know that not everybody's going to agree with me on this. And you can go ahead. You can email me later. You can email the station, whatever you want to do. I'm sorry, Neva, if they come in, but here we go. But every revelation that says it's from Jesus is not always from Jesus. Just because somebody steps up and says, but the Lord told me this. I have a revelation from Jesus. This is what we're supposed to do. Well, I really feel, Pastor, this is a revelation from God, and this is what we're supposed to do. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Think, first things first, is it scriptural? Does it line up with the Word of God? I had a revelation. You're supposed to walk on water across that sewer pit and get over there to the other side. No. No. What? It's got to be scriptural. It must be scriptural to give us what is known and to give us what is said. Look back at this scripture. I'm going to start at verse 25. Then he said to them, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. The first thing I want to tell you is you got to believe in what has been spoken in the scripture. You got to know the Word of God. You got to know what it says. This goes to those people out there. I love you dearly, but you are sadly deceived if you think the Old Testament does not have part in Christianity of today. Come on. If you go, well, Brother Kevin, that's Old Testament. Did Jesus throw it away? No. Did Jesus point it out? Constantly Jesus says, look at the prophets, look at the Old Testament, look at what's been written, look at the scripture, look back at the scripture, look at what's been spoken, look at verse 26. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? I'm asking you two questions. Can you confirm this? Didn't the prophet say this had to take place? Didn't the prophet declare this had to come about? Didn't the prophet say this is the entryway into glory? You got to look at these scriptures. You got to know this. And then Jesus himself sits down and he begins at Moses. That's Genesis, folks. He begins at Moses, and he goes all the way through the prophets. That's all the way through the minor prophets, all the way down to Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, all the way down to those. Yes, he spoke of David. I'm sure he did. How long did he preach this? He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now y'all know he didn't have New Testament. You know that he's in Old Testament. You know that's what he's referring to. But what you don't know, what scriptures did he have when he expounded on the scriptures? We know that he had the book of Isaiah. We know that he had some letters of Jeremiah. We know that he had much, much of the letters of the psalmist that were written. They were scattered out. It wasn't put in order like what we know it today, but he had a lot of them. You could pick up this whole, in their time, the whole parchment book of the Psalms, and they were all divided, and he'd just pick them up and read them. Jesus was able to expound on them and identify over and over again, even through the ledgers. I can imagine Jesus looking back at the book of ledger, the book of Deuteronomy. You know Deuteronomy, don't you? He begot, she begot, we all forgot who begot, right? We can't remember all of those. Nobody. But how important it is to follow through those, just to find those nuggets. You know what's interesting about the Chronicles? When you start reading the Chronicles, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he died at an early age. He did not do what was right at the eyes of the Lord, and he died at an early age. He did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he died at an early age. But then all of a sudden, there's that one, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he lived way old age. How come? Scriptures are important. You've got to have them. The number one thing that Jesus did, he expounded on the scriptures. That's how you know it's a revelation of Jesus. It combines and matches with scripture. The word of God is always in there. The second thing that he does, this is a method of revelation. Look at this. Talking and sharing and visiting. He will talk with you at the lowest times. He will share with you at the lowest times. The thing that the revelation of Jesus, there's this old song, I'm sorry, that is just popping in my head. it's an old country song, looking for love in all the wrong places, okay? I can't get away from that. It's not on my notes, but it's what's ringing in my head because so many people are doing that. They're looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. The only time they look for Jesus is when there's a major crisis going on in their life, and they're thinking about how to solve the problem, how to find the finances for the problem, how to fix the issue, what are they going to do with their kids, what are they going to do with their parents, how are they going to fix this, how are they going to settle that, how are they going to get a new lawyer, how are they going to get this, how are they going to get that. And then in the middle of it all, they'll cry out and say, oh, Jesus, where are you? Now, granted, he does listen to you, and I promise you, he wants to be there with you, and he does want to talk to you during that time. But when you're so chaotic and caught up in everything else, you have to give Jesus time to hear him. He will walk with you in your lowest time of your day. He'll walk with you. In the worst hour of your life, he will be there with you. But you have to listen to him. Those two guys on the road to Emmaus saw the stranger coming up. On that road to Emmaus, it is covered with thieves. It is covered with criminals. It is covered with people that are just trying to talk you out of your dime or out of your nickel, beggars on the street. This street is filled with people that are lost. They're filled with strangers. See, it wasn't just two men all by themselves walking down a road, and then all of a sudden, poof, here appears like a ghost guy in white clothes, and he comes over. I mean, apparently Jesus didn't have his radiant look about him. Apparently he didn't have his radiant glow about him. If he did, those two guys are more crazy than what I tell them that they're crazy. You know what I'm saying? What happens here? Jesus wanted to give us an illustration. Revelation comes when we slow down and say, Jesus, I believe you're real, and I need to talk with you. Jesus may be trying his best to talk and share with you right now, and you're just so caught up. What is wrong with you? You're the only stranger in town. Have you not heard about this that's going on? When some stranger comes up to you and says, can I have a minute of your time? Well, not right now, man. I've got, what is that saying that I say it quite so often? People ask me, hey, pastor, what you doing? Well, I'm just playing like a big wheel, going in circles. That's all I know to do, you know. And, man, I tell you what, there's a lot of times throughout the day I just play tag team with my calendar because it's like tag your turn, fill in this minute, fill in that minute. What can we do now, here, there? You know, it's so busy, so chaotic going through there. But Jesus, all the time, here comes an interruption in and says, hey, I just wanted to visit with you for just a minute. My mind went blank. I was going to give this guy credit today. I love it when this man drops by my church and he just catches me and at the right time, and I don't know how he does it. It'd be in a minute when I'm just flying in there just to make connection with the secretary to get some information to go out again to go do the next thing. And in that moment, there's like a 3-minute window that I'm in that office. This man has a knack about finding me when I pull in there, and he comes right in at that moment, and he comes in. Usually, he can give me a poem, or he gives me an inspiration, or he quotes a scripture, or he does something, and he's like, I don't want to take a lot of your time, pastor, just want to share this word, ba-boom, and then I'm gone, and out the door he goes. And, you know, for the first few times that he did that, I was like, oh, man, just, I don't have time to talk right now, I don't have time to sit down. But now I'm like, oh, no, get out of the way, here he comes, sit down. because I want to hear what he's got to say. I want to listen to him because I know it's the Lord going, hello, you got to slow down a minute. You got to hear me. The Lord will talk to you. He will listen to you. In verse number 27, what we just read again, I'm going to refer back to it just real quick. In verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he shared with them over and over again all of the scriptures concerning him. Jesus will tell you who he is. Let Jesus tell you who he is. Yeah, the word of testimony, and this is what I was trying to say earlier. Our testimony is so important. You need to share your testimony with somebody. You need to be inviting people to church. You need to be doing that. It honors God greatly. But if you're the person that's been invited to church, now you're waiting on the next step, I encourage you, get in the scriptures and find out who Jesus is. Let Jesus reveal himself to you, because he reveals himself to you in far greater potentials than what anybody else can. I'll tell you about his goodness. I'll tell you about his saving grace. I'll tell you about his mercy. I'll tell you about his healing power. I'll tell you about the things that Jesus has done for me, but they cannot compare with what he wants to do for you. He wants you to know who he is. There's a revealing party about to take place, and Jesus is going to make the revealing of himself to you. I want you to see in verse number 30, something that happens. We'll go down verse, let me get back into that scripture. Yeah, I'm jumping down, 28, they drew near the village. He was going to pass them on by, but they indicated to him, come on, come stay with us. Come on, stay with us. They constrained him is the word. They said, abide with us. Stay with us a little bit longer. Verse 30. So it came to pass, he sat down at the table with them. Man, how we need Jesus to sit down at the table with us from time to time. And there is so many different illustrations that I could pull out of this. And there's so many different things that we could do with this. But for right now, I'm going to take a break. Because what I want to share with you next is so important that you need to hear. We must, not should, not be a good idea. We must get Jesus back at our table, back in communion with us. We must get in communion with Jesus. That's coming up second half. Don't miss.
We do have several prayer requests, and this first one is for Jake Harris and his family, as Jake is having seizures. In fact, he had 16 of them in a 24-hour period of time. And he's been admitted to the hospital in Tyler, Texas. And they're just trying to get a handle on, there's been going on a while, but the last 24 hours, and I think that started like Saturday into Sunday, he just continued to have one after another. And then we want to pray for the family and friends of David Johnson from Dill City as he's gone to be with the Lord. Also, we want to pray for Sister Judy Gifford, who has COVID. Mm-mm. And then one of my good friends, Linda Laster, asked us to pray for her and Frank as they have a really important business meeting today. They need wisdom and they need favor. And that favor may mean that the door is shut.
That's right.
And so we want to pray for that. And then I would ask our prayer warriors to pray for Ann Block, a lady that's moved to Cheyenne not long ago, lives in one of my houses. She needs to accept Christ as her Savior, and Amen. She admits that, and we've prayed together. She's not quite there yet, but she did go to church with me Sunday and really seemed to enjoy it. Amen. So, yeah.
Amen. That revelation of Jesus Christ needed in so many lives.
That's right.
That's the key.
Yep.
Let's pray this morning for these today. Father God, we just bring Linda to you today. Lord, we just pray for her and Frank as they have a very important business adventure today. Lord, we know that it's an adventure. We know that you want your people to prosper, Lord. We know that you want your people to benefit. We know that you want your people doing business until you return back. So, Lord, I pray today that you give them wisdom, and I pray that you give them favor. Lord, I pray that you direct them, Lord. If there is confusion about whether it should go on or not, then close the door, O Lord, and help them, O Lord, to make those decisions to be accurate and true. And Father, I pray for Ann Block right now. Just, Lord, I just pray that you will reveal yourself to her a new and a fresh way. God, showing her a great advantage in the kingdom of God. Father God, I pray for the family of Jack Harris. Lord, I pray today that you would just touch this family, encourage them, bring peace to them that passes understanding, bring comfort to them, O Lord, in the heartache that is there, in the questions, in the misunderstandings. Lord, I pray that you would just benefit them, bless them abundantly, show them the power of the lineage of the walk with Christ. We thank you for that, Lord, right now today. And Father, I pray for David Johnson, for this family and friends, Lord. I pray that you just bless this family today, Lord. Just strengthen them as well. Hold them dear, and strengthen them all as well in the courage. Father God, I bring a special prayer to you this hour. There are so many that are fighting with the disease and the viruses that are out there. There are so many, Lord, that are struggling today with allergies. There's those that are struggling with just infections. There's small viruses and large viruses that are out. Lord, I pray for those who have been diagnosed positive with COVID. Yes, Lord, even with Judy Gifford today, Lord, I just pray that you would touch her body and bring healing and protection to that body and that system in Jesus' name. Father, I pray even today for Kendra, Lord, that you would touch her. She's home, not well. Lord, I just pray blessings right now on all these. Lord, there's been an onslaught on our schools. Our students are homesick. Our teachers are homesick. Lord, I would just come to you today and ask you for your divine healing nature to cover this land. And Lord, if I may, please send the rain. Lord, we need rain today. Lord, we need rain to clean our air. We need rain to clean our streets. We need rain, Lord. We need rain to bring fresh breath into our life. Bring the rain, Lord. We're so blessed, Lord, with what you gave us. We thank you for all that you continue to do. But Lord, we ask you for the rain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.